radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
This is P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Now, broadcasting live from high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. And against all better judgment, it's time for Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
Everybody, it's time for another Prednik Takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. That's right, Prednik Nation Radio is on the air. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. Good morning and welcome in Nashville Sports Radio, 560 AM, 95.9 FM here around Middle Tennessee. And of course, 107.9 FM as you're headed through Smyrna into the borough. 103.9 FM through Clarksville into Drakesboro, Kentucky. Online, always WNSR.com. Streaming for you for free in the WNSR app. Also free for you to download. We are here live. Predneck Nation Radio, the Renegades of Puck in the trench this morning as we are recapping the Nashville Predators season, and we're looking forward to what will happen in the offseason. Remember, you can always check us out. Give us a like on Facebook, Predneck Nation. Give us a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation, and you can find out a lot more information about the show at WNSR.com. Over the summer, we'd appreciate if you could go ahead and pick up one of those fantastic t-shirts. After all, Predneck Nation Radio is sold out, so you can buy in Redbubble.com and just search Predneck Nation. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey. Of course, you know him as the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation, a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen in the offseason. On Twitter, you can find him at GreekGoalie35. And of course, he has been a part of Predneck Nation Radio here for several seasons. He is Mastrodamus. How are you doing today, my friend?
Off season a little bit earlier than we expected. The pollen's still out there, so a little disappointing, but we're ready to go.
I was not ready to wrap up the season yet. I was so hopeful the Nashville Predators would force a Game 7. That would have created one of the most fantastic sports weeks here in Middle Tennessee, with the Predators hosting a Game 7 last night, and then we would have had the NFL draft for 3 days, and the Predators would have been hosting Game 1 somewhere in that as well. What an intense week it would have been, and how much fun it would have been. But it is not going to be any of those things. Mastrodamus, we ended up this regular season for the Nashville Predators after 82 games with a record of 47-29-6. That was good for 100 points, a home record of 25-14-2, and a road record of 22-15-4. And thanks to a 7-2-1 last 10-3 game winning streak, the Nashville Predators were able to overcome the Winnipeg Jets and hold off the St. Louis Blues to win the Central Division. Now, Mastrodamus, we all know the season started out incredible, but after about the first 6 weeks, things started to slide a little bit. Then they went through a period with a lot of different injuries. Once they came through that inconsistent play, and then a run at the end of the season where it seemed like nobody wanted to win the Central, but it turns out the Preds, back-to-back Central Division champions. Your comments on the regular season?
Good start, 13-3, you know, coming off of a President's Trophy winning campaign in 2017-2018. Feel pretty good going into it. They didn't play all that necessarily well, I don't think, going 13-3. I think they were bailed out a lot by Pecorino and UC Saros in net. The injury started happening. You had the broken thumb from Arvidsson. You had Forsberg out, you had Subban out, so a bit of a lull there for a little while, and then even when the injuries came back, things still weren't looking that great. So then you're starting to wonder, okay, well, is this team going to find their chemistry again? It just never seemed to happen until the last 11 games. They finished 8-2-1. So you look at that middle portion of the season, 26-24-5, very average at best during the middle chunk of that season, which explains a lot of the frustration of the Preds fans, and rightfully so, coming off of a great campaign. You know, what was wrong with this team? You were relatively healthy after everybody came back and just couldn't find their mojo again. And then you finished strong. So it gave fans some hope for the playoffs, thinking, all right, we started out strong. We kind of sleepwalk through the middle of the season and then go ahead and finish strong, win the Central Division. And we're going into the playoffs on a good little winning streak here. But their play just never seemed to come together, and they were just inconsistent all season long. That was their major problem.
Mastrodamus, one of the biggest issues with this team all season long, special teams, the power play. We actually watched it sink as the season went along, and it just continued getting worse until it ended up finishing as the last overall rated power play in the NHL. And we all know through the playoffs, they didn't score a single power play goal. It was historically bad, and we watched it all season long. Certainly, we have to see massive changes, but your comments on the power play and special teams in general for this Predators team all season long.
Unlike the power play, the penalty kill seemed to be doing pretty well by the end of the season. I mean, they had a good little stretch there where they weren't giving up any power play goals, I think, for 30, 35, almost 40 consecutive chances against. And the penalty kill was doing fantastic work. I thought, watching the penalty kill, you could see that they scouted the other team, watching what their next opponent does on the power play. They seemed to kind of anticipate where they wanted to go with the puck and give them some passing lanes that they didn't want to go to. So I thought the penalty kill was pretty good. Power play, though, I mean, I've lost my voice of how much I've screamed about this power play all season long. Just abysmal, soft saucer passes, stationary, umbrella garbage all season long. It's maddening to watch. Quite frankly, they have 4 months till next season. They should watch that San Jose power play from the other night on loop consecutively for the next 4 months. It was hard, crisp passing through the zone, motion, traffic in front of the net, and lo and behold, guess what? You get scoring chances, you get goals your way. So they just need to learn how to change that, just completely redo the power play. I know Laviolette said they changed everything. They changed personnel. They did this and that. It looked like the same thing. The drop passes, the soft break-ins into the zone, the little soft saucer passes. I mean, it's just maddening to watch.
And special teams, one of the reasons the Nashville Predators find themselves out after the first round of the NHL playoffs. Mastrodamus continuing our conversation and wrapping up the regular season. Some individual statistical performances. Ryan Johansson led this team in scoring this season. He skated in 80 games, would have played in all 82. He was healthy all year, but found himself suspended for 2 games for a very, very stupid high-sticking penalty. 14 goals, 50 assists. That is good for 64 points on the year. That led the Nashville Predators. 50 assists. He's only the second Nashville Predator in team history to reach that mark, along with Paul Kariya. 47 assists was Ryan Johansson's previous career high, so he also sets a personal best in this statistical category. And as bad as the power play was this season, he was still able to accumulate 16 power play assists. Ryan Johansson, a large chunk of the season without either of his top line wingers, and still managed to lead this team in scoring until those injuries started. He was a point per game player, and I felt that this year he stepped up and became more of a leader than he had ever become before, and I expect Ryan Johansson to take that next step moving forward.
The MVP of the season. Some people may think that's a little bit crazy to say, but let's think about this. For about a quarter of the season, he didn't have his line mates with him, neither one of them. He still went out there with guys like Craig Smith jumping up into the top line, Kevin Fiala. Ryan freaking Hartman was on the first line for a little bit to try to generate some offense because nobody else could. I mean, he had absolutely everybody you could possibly think of on this roster alongside with him on that first line to try to generate offense. And Johansson, for the most part, continued to generate scoring chances with his passing ability. I've said it many times before, is like he needs to shoot it a little bit more often, but he's a distributing type guy, and that's what he's paid to do. He plays in all types of situations. His penalty killing has been pretty good this season as well. He challenges the puck. He forces guys to just play better. I mean, his back checking has also been pretty good this year, which is one of the things that we kind of gave out about his first season with the Preds. that didn't seem like he was trying to get back defensively, but I think that's improved as well. So Ryan Johansson, for my money, was the MVP of the season.
We see some other forwards that actually accomplished some individual and team records as well. Victor Arvidsson, of course, sets the single season franchise record for goals in the season. It was previously 33. Now he finishes this season with 34. His previous career high was 31. Victor Arvidsson only played 58 games due to injuries this year and still managed to get 34 goals. Of course, we all know what happened in the playoffs, completely non-existent. But as far as regular season, Mastrodamus, if he had remained healthy, who knows what the ceiling could have been for the way he played over the course of the last several weeks.
He could have been on pace for 50 the way his regular season was going. And I know we're disappointed in the postseason, him not getting any points there. But Victor Arvidsson, just his energy was just infectious when he was out there on the ice. Everybody knows when he's out there. Like I've said it before with Rocco Grimaldi, somebody like that. You know when they're on the ice because the crowd all of a sudden gets a little bit more perked up and you just expect him to generate a scoring chance and to do something special out there. And for the large part this season, I mean, considering he was hurt for almost a third of the year, he was incredibly special out there. I mean, on pace with guys like Alexander Ovechkin for goals per game throughout the season, that's pretty striking if you think about it. For a guy who's, you know, making $4.2 million, an absolute bargain contract right now, the way that's looking for the long haul. But Victor Arvidsson is just simply sensational. It's just really a shame that he was hurt for a good chunk of the season.
Colton Sisson, surprising numbers overall for the season. And he, of course, is a restricted free agent looking to get a new contract. But 75 games played this year, 15 goals, Mastrodamus. That's plus 6 over his career high of 9 and 30 points. That's up 3 from his career high of 27. Also, for those of you who still enjoy the plus-minus metric, he was a plus 20 on the season. And overall, Colton Sisson, I felt that it was inconsistent at times, but he does set a career high in goals and points on the year and looking to get himself signed for a couple of years here with the Preds moving forward.
Up and down season, again, goes along with the rest of the team, really. Look at him. Could have been, you know, if you look at the roster, you're looking, okay, Johansson, Turris, Bonino, and Sisson. He's probably your number 4 center, and at some points this season he was your number 2 center, quite frankly. So he's been inconsistent. We saw what he could do a couple of years ago in the playoffs when he could step up and get more minutes, and you know, he gets a hat trick to get the team into the Stanley Cup final. I think that's going to be his lasting memory of the Preds, though. I think his peak is basically what he's at right now. I don't see him getting that much better. See him getting, you know, 10 to 15 goals per season, maybe 30 to 35 points a season. Great faceoff guy, plays pretty much in all situations. If there's injuries on the power play, then he can jump up there. Good penalty killer, good defensive zone specialist. So decent season. We'll see what they offer him. I get the feeling it's going to be more of a 2-year type bridge contract and just say, all right, I think Poyle kind of learned his lesson. Cali Yarncroke making $2 million a year for that extended period of time. Quite frankly, Yarncroke, not a good season for him. So I think that Poyle will be pumping the brakes a little bit more on Sisson's and give him maybe a couple years, maybe about $1.5 million per year, somewhere in that vicinity.
And Mastrodamus, we have to talk about this, the surprise of the year. A guy we didn't even anticipate being a part of this roster, but he ends up contributing. And because he gets to contribute, sets career highs across the board for himself personally. Rocco Grimaldi, 20 games played was his previous career high, skated 53 times this year for the Preds. He scored 5 goals, 8 assists, both career highs, 13 points. Of course, a career high before that, 5 points was the total for his career. And he really showed you what you could do out there with some heart and determination and a stick named Frankie.
The spirit animal of all the Preds fans, I think, late in the season, Victor Arvidsson 2.0 possibly, the way he plays. We remember Arvidsson 4 years ago. He was, you know, he's a guy that looked like, man, he's out there with so much heart and drive. He gets shots on net, wasn't able to find the net all that often. So we're wondering what the next step was. And Rocco Grimaldi, we might be looking at that same situation. I don't think he's going anywhere. The Preds are obviously going to sign him. Now, what Poyle decides to do with his contract, whether it's one of those where we could see the potential in him, let's sign him to a little bit longer contract, or let's give him one more year at a pretty bargain price and then go from there, remains to be seen. I think they're probably going to go with a shorter contract, give him a, you know, $1.5 million, somewhere in that vicinity, and go from there. But Rocco Grimaldi, though, he's not out there to make the money. He's a former second-round draft pick, so the guy has talent. He was drafted by the Florida Panthers in the second round, so there's talent there, and he just started to kind of come out of his shell a little bit this season. So I love what I saw out of him and expect big things from him next season.
On the defensive side of things over the course of the regular season, Ryan Ellis, believe it or not, set some career highs, skating every single game of the season. First time he's done that in his career, and in assists, puts up 34 on the year. His previous high was 23, 41 points. His previous career high was 38. Overall, though, a very, very inconsistent season from Ryan Ellis, and we've come to expect a whole lot more from him. Matthias Ekholm also set a career high in assists this year. He was at 36. That's plus 9 over where he was in his career high in 44 points. Also plus 9 where he was in his career high. And the captain, Roman Josi Mastrodamus, skated in every single game this season. That's a career high for him. Before that, he had skated in 81. 15 goals, also a career high. Before that, 14. He finished second on the team in scoring, 56 points overall. But unfortunately for this team, this top four defensive core over the course of this regular season and most certainly through the playoffs has lost forever the nickname the best defensive core in the NHL. I certainly will not be using that phrase anymore.
Not good enough in their own zone. Offensively, okay, yeah, they generate a lot of chances. Roman Josi, during some games of the season, carried the team on his back and generated offense on his own. No doubt about that. But when you have a quote that P.K. Subban had earlier this season about, we're not communicating that well in our own zone, we need to be better about that. Like, dude, you've had three seasons on this roster with the same guys back there, and you guys don't know how to communicate. That's a major, major problem in my book. There should be zero lack of communication when you're familiar with the same team, the same coaching staff. Inexcusable for that to be an issue. So Ryan Ellis, we'll see what happens. Yeah, I heard the presser yesterday. They were talking about his knee and if that's right. And he said he'd kind of deferred to the training staff and the coaching staff. So we'll see what happens with that. But I thought the same thing last year with him and Josi, where they were invisible in the playoffs. They had to have been injured, and lo and behold, they went ahead and played for their country right after the season was over. So that remains to be seen what happens with that. But overall, incredibly disappointing season from that defense group.
One more thing to recap in the regular season. Of course, that's the goaltending. Pekka Rinne, 56 games started this year, 30 wins, 19 losses, 4 overtime losses, a 2.42 goals against average, a .918 save percentage, and 4 shutouts on the year, coming off of a Vezina winning season. UC Saros, he gets 31 games played this season. That's up 5 from his career high. Picks up 17 wins. That's up 6 from his career high. Previous of 11, 2.62 goals against average on the season, a .915 save percentage, 3 shutouts. We saw him take a little bit of a dip in the middle of the season, but overall, UC Saros continues his growth, and the way the contract situation works out, clearly Pekka Rinne's got 2 more years as the starter, and UC Saros has 2 more years to finish getting his game together before he takes over the crease full-time as the Nashville Predators netminder.
In the last year of his 7-year, $49 million contract, did all he could out there. He was left hanging out to dry way too often. I think that it was a common theme all season long that Preds wasted a great effort by Saros, wasted a great effort by Pekka Rinne in this game, not getting enough scoring to back them up, and obviously leaving the front of their net wide open to get scored on. But Pekka Rinne did what he had to do, and I said before the season Saros would play between 30 and 35 games. That was my take from the beginning. He's going to start seeing more opportunities, and he certainly did. I love what I saw out of Saros the first couple months of the season. Again, just seems to be a trend with him. He's starts out a little bit slow and then ends up picking it up as the season goes on. Past January 1st and on, he was absolutely sensational. So I've got no qualms at all with UC Saros. Bargain contract, $1.5 million over the next 2 years. Rinne's contract, obviously, new contract kicks in next season, 2 years, $10 million total. So expect to see Saros slowly starting to take over a little bit more and more time. I think Rinne is a competitor, as humble and as quiet as he usually is. He's an insane competitor. So do think that even though Saros is his prodigal son, perhaps, but he's looking at keeping that starting crease. So I look for Rinne similar numbers next season, 50 to 56 starts.
Pekka Rinne, after 13 years played now, all with the Nashville Predators, 341 wins, 187 losses, a .918 save percentage, a .238 goals against average for his career. Pekka Rinne continues to play out the next 2 years. We could easily see him accomplish the number of 400 victories as a Nashville Predators goaltender. Of course, you just mentioned the contract situation, signed up for 2 more years. Now, quickly, the Nashville Predators, they win the Central Division, so that means they would get to host a wild card team having home ice advantage. They end up drawing the Dallas Stars in the first round. 5 total teams from the Central Division would go on to make the NHL playoffs. Game 1, we saw Dallas come into Nashville and win 3-2. Game 2, Nashville fights back and gets a 2-1 victory in overtime. Game 3, the Preds Preds go into Dallas, pick up a 3-2 win, and then game four, Dallas starts to take over the series. A 5-1 victory over the Preds. They come back to Nashville for game five, pick up a 5-3 win, and then in game six, the Dallas Stars close out the Nashville Predators 2-1 on home ice in overtime. The Nashville Predators lose in six games in the first round, and I always say losing in six is just seems to be the most difficult because you're one play away from 3-3 coming back for a game seven, and instead you look up and the series is 4-2. No doubt over the best of seven, the better team is always proven to be true, and the Dallas Stars were the better team in this series. There's not a statistical metric you can find that proves the Nashville Predators were the better team. The first line between these two teams, well, the Stars, 7 goals, 11 assists, 18 points. The Nashville Predators, 2 goals, 2 assists for 4 points. Total goals in the series, 12 for the Preds, 18 for the Stars. Power play, that's the difference maker. 4-22 for Dallas, 41 shots on net, 0-15 for the Preds, only 21 shots on goal. And in every statistical category except shots on goal, the Nashville Predators were soundly defeated over the course of a 6-game series. Mastrodamas, certainly disappointing for the Nashville Predators, but this first round exit was a microcosm of the entire season. Inconsistent, up and down, and we didn't know from period to period what team we were going to see. Your thoughts on the Nashville Predators first round series and first round exit against the Dallas Stars?
You said it best. It is a microcosm of the season. You come out really strong like they did in game one for about 25 minutes. They were fantastic out there. It's like, okay, maybe they did find their mojo over the last 10 games or so and are going to play like the Nashville Predators of a couple years ago to make a good run. And then Dallas gets a goal and just starts dominating after that. Preds played a good last 7-8 minutes of the game. But again, that was basically all season long. They could not put together 60 full minutes of hockey for whatever reason. So they were just, again, incredibly inconsistent with their effort. So game one, perfect. Perfect example of that. Game two, played much better. They didn't give up a whole lot of shots to Dallas despite the game going to overtime. Get a little bit of a lucky bounce, and Craig Smith puts it in. Game three, absolutely stole. We've talked about that before with Pecorine having a sensational game and Ben Bishop getting a couple leaky goals in there. And then the Preds just, that was it. They fell asleep after that. I don't know if they thought that Ben Bishop was going to continue to give up leaky goals like that, and they didn't have to try that hard, but they made it way, way, way too easy for Ben Bishop in net. Game six was the only time that they actually challenged him, and Bishop, to his credit, played a fantastic game, so full marks to him for game six. But if they put forth that kind of effort in game six as they did the entire series, maybe we're having a different conversation right now. We're looking forward to a second round series against the St. Louis Blues, but effort completely inconsistent, and I don't understand how you make the playoffs and have this much playoff experience and can't get a consistent effort out of everybody.
Mastrodamas, since the first round exit, we did not have a game seven. What we did have was exit interviews and an exit press conference from head coach Peter Laviolette and David Poile. They talked about special teams and having no answer for the power play. And they also mentioned quite a few times that there would be changes and they knew what needed to be done. Looking forward, you and I have already discussed the goaltending situation and contracts locked up there the next 2 years. Wayne Simmonds, he's an unrestricted free agent. Cody McLeod, an unrestricted free agent. We know that they will both be gone. Brian Boyle, also UFA. Hopefully the Nashville Predators can work out some type of deal to keep him here a little bit longer. He was an excellent addition to this team. And for the Nashville Predators, the only restricted free agents you're going to see is Grimaldi and Sissons going into the offseason. I expect both of them to be offered some small contracts. Roman Josi, 1 year left on his deal. They can start negotiating on July 1st. And then, of course, you look and Kyle Turris, no idea what they're going to do with the $30 million that they still owe him through 2023-2024. It's as simple as this. He's going to be on the roster next year because no one's going to take that contract and no one's going to buy out that contract and put that much money on the book. So Mastrodamas, they talk about changes. What changes do you expect to see moving forward with this roster? And that can be either from players, coaches, or style. Let it go, my friend.
They're going to have a tough time making any sort of massive changes on this roster unless David Poile pulls out some trades, because you look at it, all 8 defensemen on this roster are signed for next season. So you have some decisions to make. So are you going to carry 8 again like you did for the first half of this season and finally let somebody go, or are you going to carry 7? So that's a decision they're going to have to deal with. Up front, everybody is signed, like you said, for next season, except for Sissons and Grimaldi, and neither one of them are going anywhere, I don't think. I think they're both going to stick around. So you're looking at pretty full rosters unless you make some trades. So Kyle Turris, like you said, probably not going anywhere. You know, as unfortunate as that might sound, it's the truth, because who's going to take that kind of contract? Even if the Preds decided we're going to pay half of his contract for the rest of the time, that might be their only chance to even get a sniff of a decent deal out of that. But Kyle Turris, you could hear it on the exit interviews. You could hear it when he got a healthy scratch. He's kind of become a little bit malcontent, honestly, which is kind of shocking for a guy that's this experienced. It's just not working out between him and Laviolette. It's, you know, when he was healthy scratch, he's like, I don't think that's the best thing for me. Well, you've been put with guys that can score. You've been demoted to the fourth line. You've been healthy scratched. I don't know what else Laviolette could do for him, honestly. So disappointing season for him. But going forward, coaching staff, if Laviolette, and it sure sounded like it on the exit interviews, if he's going to spread the blame out to everybody and not Kevin McCarthy for the power play, then you're going to be looking for another job. You won't be looking for very long, but you'll probably be looking for another job going elsewhere. Because if you can't let go of your right-hand man, despite an absolutely atrocious power play, then you have to go also, my friend. I love Laviolette, what he brought to the table to the Preds. He brought a lot of excitement, a lot of offensive production that we had previously not seen. But if you can't look in the mirror and say he's a problem, you got to make a change, then you also have to be out the door. And I know people talk about, well, what do you do as far as a replacement goes? Well, going into the season, has anybody ever heard of Jim Montgomery before this season? No, he was a college coach. So there's plenty of coaches out there. I would love to see a coaching difference if Laviolette does not pull the plug on Kevin McCarthy, period.
We can find you on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. My friend, I appreciate you so much recapping the regular season, the playoffs, and discussing what's going to happen and some potential moves here in this offseason. Of course, we'll continue hearing you on the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show from time to time when there is news, and also talking a little bit about the NHL playoff bracket in general. That happens in the afternoons here on Nashville Sports Radio. I will still continue to be on the Greg Pogan Big Joe Show, but overall, Predneck Nation Radio, since there's no more playoff games and there's no more game days, we're basically going to wrap it up. We may visit as there is breaking news, because you know the takeovers will go on when they need to go on and for as long as they need to go on, just like this morning. We didn't even tell you guys we were going to be here. We just thought we would drop this one on you and go ahead and get our final thoughts for the season out. So Mastrodamus, appreciate you jumping on early as you've done all season long. 88 shows in the books, hundreds of pages of handwritten notes, and countless hours of viewing, researching, and discussing. My friend, fantastic season. And I look forward to doing it again. Have a great summer. Keep in touch, buddy.
Charlie, always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
Mastrodamus right there on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He was the head writer of PredneckNation.com when we still were running that website. But you know, things are always evolving and we continue making things happen. And we've got some big things coming up here in the near future. Just a couple of comments on what Mastrodamus was saying on his way out the door. And for the Nashville Predators, I think it's about time to break up the big four. We've had a couple of seasons now where it has been Josi and Ellis, Ekholm and Subban. And we remember when the Subban for Weber trade was made. Well, the Nashville Predators' intention was to put Subban and Josi together. Ekholm and Ellis at the time were one hell of a defensive pair, and the Nashville Predators attempted to do that. It did not work out whatsoever, and we finally settled on the defensive pairings that you have seen pretty much since the 2017 Stanley Cup final run. Now, this Nashville Predators defense core has not performed up to the reputation and expectation we have all set for it. Roman Josi, with 1 year left on his deal, I fully expect he's going to want to negotiate and get a full contract extension here in Nashville. If that happens, then PK Subban, being the highest paid player on the Nashville Predators, also being the most recognizable name on the Nashville Predators, would covet quite a return when it comes to going out and looking for some secondary scoring. I like having PK Subban here as part of the team, but his value on the trade market is very high and significant, and there are GMs out there who will fall in love with the name, not necessarily the play. So PK Subban could help bring back quite a return, and let's face it, with the emergence of Dante Fabbro here at the end of the season and in the playoffs, clearly the Nashville Predators have a future top four defenseman. Don't know if he's ready for those minutes to start next season, but obviously he's going to be taking one one of those spots away here soon. If you were thinking about trading Ryan Ellis, the contract is simply too big, and the way he was embarrassed at times during this first-round playoff series, GMs will probably see that tape and shy away from any type of deal. Ekholm, I truly believe he is still the most steady defenseman on this team, and that he will come back, rebound next season, and continue progressing. This playoff series, I don't know what was going on with him, but hopefully he can get those situations sorted out. We talked about what's going on at forward. For the most part, this Nashville Predators team has itself solidified, so David Poile has an opportunity to go out there and make some changes via trade. I don't necessarily think it's going to be that big a deal when it comes to free agency. Dan Hamhuis, look forward to having him here for one more year as he heads towards his retirement. He can again help Dante Fabbro. I thought the two of them were very good together on this season, but I truly believe it's time to break up the big four of the Nashville Predators defense. And we had Stu Grimson from the NHL Network here on the station just the other morning, and he also had some comments about that very same concept.
For me, and I think this has long kind of been the aspect of the Predators that has dogged this team, we're all very fond of saying defense wins championships. I mean, it's important without question, but I don't know a lot of champions that won 1-0 hockey games exclusively on their way to holding up the top prize at the end of the year. You have to be able to score. And, you know, regretfully for the Preds, I think secondary scoring, second-tier scoring was a problem all through the regular season. Peter Laviolette was constantly looking for line combinations from the Turris line on down that worked for them, that could provide some meaningful depth scoring. So that's not there as you enter the playoffs. It never materialized as the playoffs unfold. And then add to that, the Jofa line really had a difficult time getting on the board.
Meaningful depth scoring. Could it be coming from the minor leagues in Tolvanen? Could it be coming via trade with one of the top four exiting and bringing back a significant return? The Nashville Predators, through the trade deadline, were able to hang on to their most important prospects and their most important draft picks. And while the Wayne Simmonds trade was completely redundant and unnecessary, the Brian Boyle trade ended up being important. I think he could be a future part of this team. I hope they're able to lock him up for a couple of years. Let's face it, everybody. Pekka-Rinne in the exit interviews, he's got 2 years left on his contract. That's the time frame we're working on right now. David Poile, we do not know how much longer he intends to be a general manager in the NHL. Retirement for David Poile is definitely going to come at some point in time. So for the Nashville Predators, for David Poile, for Pekka-Rinne, if they want to win a Stanley Cup as a group, then I think it's going to have to be in the next 2 years. And one other thing, I just want to say the 2017 run 2 seasons ago, it was absolute magic, but I think officially as of the end of this first round, the crest and the wave that we have all been riding since that moment, I think that it's officially crashed, and now time for some changes. This was a group of players who asked the management of the team to stay together, remain together after winning the President's Trophy and after going to Game 7 of the second round, feeling as if they had unfinished business out there on the ice. Well, they were given the opportunity to do that this year all the way up until the trade deadline because of inconsistencies. David Poile made a couple of tweaks, and now in the offseason, I expect David Poile to reassert his control over this roster. Of course, the players in exit interviews saying they'd like to maintain, stay together, and make another run at it, but we all know there are changes coming, and Craig Smith making some of the best comments of the entire season down the last week or two about the power play, about the regular season, and he's pissed, you're pissed, we're all pissed about the way this season ended. Seemed like nobody wanted to win the Central Division, but the Preds will still hang a banner when it comes to the first home game next season, saying Central Division champions back to back. When you start the regular season winning your division, getting yourself a good playoff spot, that's what you hope for, and that's the best that you can do. For the Nashville Predators, they accomplished that, but for some reason, it just doesn't seem like winning the division is all that big of a deal anymore for a team that has much higher expectations and higher aspirations. This group's going to get another opportunity, but I don't think it's going to look the same. We'll be here tracking each and every one of those moves on Predneck Nation Radio. And of course, you can follow along, give us a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. You can give us a like on Facebook, and you can continue listening to Nashville Sports Radio as Mostradamus and myself, the Renegades of Puck, will be appearing on all platforms here at Nashville Sports Radio as the NHL playoffs continue. And of course, as the Nashville Predators have any breaking news, Predneck takeovers will happen when they are necessary and needed. Thank you, everybody. And I certify each and every one of you for listening to this show on Renegade of Puck, because I already know you got the fire, you got the fury, you got the passion. While this season didn't end the way any of us were hoping for, should be a big time season for this Nashville Predators team, with some turnover, some potential changes on the coaching staff, and next season, hopefully, a refreshed, renewed, and better energy. I mean, after all, Kyle Turris can't be any worse next year, right? Right. Thanks, everybody. Hell of a season. Appreciate every one of you. Stick taps.